Welcome back to Intrepid Lifestyle. I'm your host, Joe Lavelle, and I'm really looking forward to this conversation with another great thought leader in our series about internet security and safety. We're going to get right to it today. We're joined by Tamara Bryant. Tamara is a friend and an awesome attorney in my hometown of Fairhope, Alabama. Tamara, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Joe. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today. Before we start our discussion today, Tamara, could you take a few minutes and tell the audience about you and your background?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Again, my name is Tamara Bryant, and I'm an attorney here in Fairhope, Alabama. I grew up and born and raised in Alabama, Central Alabama exactly, and I worked for a general practice attorney for about 5 years. I left there and worked as the judicial assistant to the probate judge in Talladega County for another 5 before I decided to go into the legal field myself and obtain my law degree. Then I prosecuted for Baldwin County until I decided to open up my own practice, and I have been practicing on my own for a little over a year now here at Bryant Law in Fairhope.
Awesome. Thanks for that. Tamara, let's get right to it. What are the top 2 or 3 things that you would tell parents regarding the safety of their children on the internet?
Well, the way society has become lately, where everything around us is linked to the internet, our children are just immersed in it from the time they start school. Now they have Chromebooks or laptops where they're constantly having to use the internet. And while I think they try to put precautions in place, we as parents are the gatekeeper for our children. And so many times, myself included, have given our children phones, which they have access to anything on that. Well, I decided to take the stand that my child would not have access to the internet on his phone. So I think that can help a lot. If you aren't aware of what's out there, just to kind of throw it out there, Apple, actually, according to their federal government affairs officer, reported that they have 100,000 app submissions a week, and they only reject 36,000. Well, one way to counter this is to have passwords. And that seems very elementary, but so many of the children that I've seen, they know the password. So they just go in, they enter the password, they download all the apps. So they've got apps on their phone that most of the parents aren't aware of what these apps do. There's no way with that many apps launching that you can actively know what's going on in the background of these apps if you aren't controlling that. So I think number one, you should have a password that only you know, that your child doesn't know. Number two, I think that just like anything, you've got to limit the time. When these children have just unfettered access to the internet all day and night, then they have time to do things that you don't. They find different apps, they find different sites. And if you limit that time, it limits what they can be exposed to. And three, I would say just oversight. When's the last time you looked at your child's phone? When's the last time you looked at the search history? When's the last time you went in and looked at each one of these apps? So I think we really have to do our job as a parent to not only have passwords that they don't know, but limit that time that they're exposed to the internet and what they can see. Because once they see it, they can't unsee it. And I promise you, they will continually go back to certain sites, look at things, watch videos. Once you've planted that seed, it's hard to take that back.
Tamara, one of the things that I was thinking as you were talking, and as we've talked about this before, as we're both parenting young men about the same age, is sometimes because of our jobs, we know how the sausage is made. In this case, you have access and you see things that happen on the bad side of this. And without really asking you to divulge what goes on in the court system, how does that impact how you determine who and what you allow your child to associate with?
Well, I did have somewhat of an advantage being able to see different people in the courtroom as I was assigned to the domestic violence docket. So you're able to see people in your community in different positions. And for me, what I've used as a guidance is, number one, I'm involved in church and I want to be able to have my child to have the background, and I know who my child is around. So I pay attention. I'm very mindful. I look for things. I interact with the parents at the baseball field or basketball. And when you're sitting in the stands, you have a lot of time during these games to learn parents, to learn their style of parenting, because it's just not what you do in your home, but it's also if you're going to allow your child to be in another home, do they allow their children to stay up till 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night on devices? Well, the rule in my home is his phone, his iPad, and Xbox come to me at 9 o'clock. He is no longer allowed to be on it. And you would be amazed at the children that are texting after 9 o'clock at night. So I think you just have to be aware of what the other families do in their homes, which is fine. That's their discretion, what they do. But I just don't want my child, because we have to protect them. And I assure you, if you aren't doing your job as a parent, there are other sources out there that they will find this information, they will use it. And allowing children, in my opinion, allowing children to be online at 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night, it's just, again, you're allowing too much time for them to have access to things that they shouldn't have access to, and they will find it.
Yes, they will, Tamara. What's the most important thing that we can do to equip our children if we're not there to oversee them, if for somehow they're in a situation where they got to make some decisions on their own?
The biggest thing is education. And that sounds elementary, and I'm sure I'm not telling you anything profound, but it is. It's educate your children that when they're in these certain games that are very popular right now, when you and I were growing up, if you had a system, you put a game in there and there was no connection to the internet. Or if you had a phone, it was a dial a number. You didn't have access to the internet. So you've got to educate them. You've got to let your children know, hey, there are people that can talk to you. You don't talk to people you don't know. You don't add people to these groups in these games that you don't know. Because I assure you, there are sexual predators out there. And you have the access and the tools. ALEA, which is Alabama Law Enforcement Agency, has a community information center on their website. And just in the city of Fairhope, within 10 miles, there are 71 sex offenders. And that number is going to be larger depending on your zip code, but you have access to go in, put in your actual address to see how close they are to your address. But know that there are no boundaries on these games, these apps. The very popular apps right now, people can pinpoint and ping the address. They can come to your house. And I assure you, these sexual predators on your children are going to take the time. They're not going to be creepy and say, hey, give me your number, I'm coming to your house right now. They're going to take the time to groom them, to befriend them. And so, again, it goes back to education, letting them know, don't add people, don't speak to people they don't know. And you as a parent, the best thing to do is surprise your kids. Walk in there, ask them who they're talking to, talk to the kids, be a part of the games where you can enter these games at any time and see who they're talking to, and check the search history.
Tamara, I don't know if people can really understand how profound that one statistic was. 71 sex offenders. We have 18,000 people in Fairhope, Alabama. It may be, I don't know, 10 miles by 5 miles, the whole town of Fairhope. So you probably can't draw a 1 mile circle anywhere where there's not a sex offender. And I would consider Fairhope pretty affluent. People are moving here from other parts of Alabama because we have good schools, because we have great housing, because it's a nice place to live. And I can only imagine in a place that might have a bigger crime rate than Fairhope, might have more bad influences, what that number looks like. So I'm really surprised at 71. And I hope that people really understand how bad that number is.
Right. These are sex offenses. So they range in category of what they are. And a lot of times I believe that parents are not educated because they're not around it. And I believe that my background has allowed me to be around it, to see it. And a lot of times you see other areas have major crimes meaning murders and robberies, but sex offenses are just as bad, if not worse, than your major crimes, because sex offenders don't walk around with this sign and they're not out there saying, hey, I'm going to prey on your child, but they're out there and you need to be cognizant of this and realize how close they are. And the law is that the local sheriff's department or police department will pass out flyers to let you know they're in your community, but you have the tools at your fingertips to go in to put your exact address or put your zip code in to find out where they are. Show your children these pictures. That way they are aware of these predators that are out there to protect them, because if you don't, then it's too late once something happens.
Tamara, given all these things we've talked about, what's the most important thing we can do as parents?
Parent 24/7. Like I said, that's the biggest thing, is to be involved and be active in your children's life. And it's so hard these days, even with myself. I'm a single mom and I'm very active in the community as well as with my son and his sports. And it's hard when you get caught up in day-to-day life of trying to make ends meet, but you've really got to take the time. And the children, they will talk. And that's the biggest thing. If you pay attention to what they're saying, you'll realize what they have access to and what they're seeing and what they're doing. And as long as you're parenting 24/7 and you're being proactive, it's so much easier than being reactive. So take that time, look through those search histories, make sure you're the only one that has passwords to it. And I assure you, I am not a popular parent to him and he gets angry at me. But at the end of the day, if I don't take these steps, it's too late once something happens to him. So I would rather him be angry at me. And I tell him, I am not his best friend. I'm his parent. And he knows he can come to me and talk to me with things, but I've got to protect him. And that's why you got to parent 24/7.
Great advice. Thank you for that. I want to take this time, get everyone that's listening, go out to www.tbryantlaw. That's TBRYANT. Law.com. Bookmark that site. Check out the site. See how Tamara's firm serves our great community here in Fairhope. Tamara, it was so great to have you on the show. Thanks for stopping by and sharing your great insights.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. And that wraps this broadcast. On behalf of our guests, Tamara Bryant, I'm Joe Lavelle, and we'll see you soon on Intrepid Lifestyle.